This is the People's Front Room Collective. Hello and welcome to PFR podcast number 8. My name's Tom Fryer. I'm here with the one and only
Clayton Lawrence Blizzard the First. What's up, listeners?
And we're here today in Campbell Street Studios with none other than Kanan Keeney himself.
Oh!
Really happy to be here, guys.
Big up the K-Dog.
Ex-resident of the building. We've got some really great music coming up. We've got a great track from Bombs, Hannah Williams and the Affirmations, Alba, Chaz Thorogood. And a very exciting feature because our friend Kanan here happens to be one of the credited writers on the new Jay-Z album.
Oh, shit! Kanan Keeney, my man!
I'm as excited as you guys.
Mate.
So we're going to have a great chat about that, but before then we're going to kick off with the first track from The Desert, which is called Just Get High.
This is the People's Front Room Podcast, yeah?
Thank you. with Overload. About 4 or 5 years old, that track now.
It is. It features the late, great Robbie Fraser on trumpet. And it also features...
Oh, man.
None other. Mr. Kane and Keeney.
Yep, sitting there on the guitar. But yeah, shadowed by, you know, a lot of incredible musicians like Robbie Fraser.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
You know, that whole band was brought together by the People's Front Room, really.
Yeah, man. So you're a big mate of the People's Front Room, part of the crew. How did you get involved first?
I mean, genuinely, it was off the back of Fitz and okay. holding onto his curly hair and getting dragged in.
That's Charlie Fitzgerald, for those who don't know, the front man of Bombs.
But I think he was kind of, he worked his way in there and played a bunch of Neil Young covers. And Sarah fell in love with him, Sarah being the kind of founder, I suppose, of the People's Front Room. Yeah. And then, he said, oh, yeah, well, I've got a band. Yeah. And next thing she knew, there were no Neil Young covers anymore. And there's all us guys making a bunch of noise.
Yeah. It's amazing, yeah, because I suppose I wanted to play that track because it kind of harks back to that time 4 or 5 years ago where... I don't know, we were all like young 20-somethings kind of just scratching around for gigs here and there. And then gradually, as things have progressed over the last few years, you know, successes have grown more and more. And now suddenly you and the band Hannah Williams and the Affirmations suddenly find themselves on the latest Jay-Z album. So
boom!
How things have changed, eh?
Yeah, that's right. You know, can't predict it.
So basically... you wrote Late Nights and Heartbreaks, which is the title track from the Hannah Williams and the Affirmations album. And that has now been picked up by No ID, producer with Jay-Z, and it's the title track on his new album, 444. Mm. So, damn, that's some pretty good news right there.
Yeah, I mean, like, totally over the moon, guys. Like, just, it's totally unbelievable. I mean, to me, it was unbelievable in the first place of kind of, you know, writing the song in the bedroom around the hole here in Campbell Street, and then having Hannah Williams kind of come and go, oh, this is a great song, you know, we really enjoy it, and then having the be flattered enough that they made that song the title track of that album.
Yeah.
And then for it to turn around and all of a sudden Jay-Z picks it up and makes it the title track of his album. It's just totally unbelievable. Just
you couldn't make it up.
Yeah man. Mate, it's great news. Made up for all of you, you and all the band and everyone involved, man. It's great news. So tell us about the song, obviously your original version. How long ago was that you wrote that?
About a couple of years ago, I think. Yeah, somewhere around there. A couple of years ago.
In the Campbell Street days.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean... you know, had a spurious past. it's kind of based on a lot of that. And I think a lot of people can relate to it, which is kind of...
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Okay.
Well, why don't we let the song do the talking and check
Let's
it out
listen.
Before we carry on. This is Hannah Williams and the Affirmations, Late Nights and Heartbreaks.
Why do I find it so hard to love you? When I know in my heart that I want to, I've been putting you down when you aren't around. I'm letting you down every day. I've been messing around when you're out of town. Why do I keep on running away? I'm a part-time lover and I'm never there. Thank you. I'll be fixing the look on my face. I'm gonna get close to you, give my love into you, at least into your glory.
So that was Hannah Williams and the Affirmations with Late Night and Heartbreaks. So, late nights and heartbreak. Plural of late nights, singular heartbreak. And the pedantic drummer of the Affirmations is in the room, keeping me right on the hand signals. So here he is, Jai Woodison-Jones. Give it up. Woo! Going to speak to you in a minute, mate, so just pipe down for now. talking to the writer of that last song, which I'm sure you all enjoyed, Kanan Keeney, still in the room. So Kanan, you told us a little bit about how you wrote the song. Did you write it specifically for Hannah and the band? Did you write it for yourself?
I mean, that's always a little bit of a tricky question, to be honest. It is kind of... I think most of my songs are very personal, mm-hmm. to be honest. So it was probably something that I wrote originally for myself, but I definitely wound up having the band in mind. Mm. I don't think it was meant for any other band.
Right.
You know, I kind of knew that it was supposed to end up with them.
Sure. Well, they did a great job with it, and obviously it suits Hannah's voice great, and she's got such a powerful voice, and... You know, she's obviously made an emotional connection with the song in the way, you know, hopefully in the way you intended it. So evidently someone else who made an emotional connection with the song was Sean Carter, a.k.a. Jay-Z. So Jay-Z, the man, picked up the song. I couldn't resist it. So Jay-Z picked up on the song. How much do you know about that, about the story, about how he came across it?
Surprisingly little, actually. I mean, I wound up getting a call off of Jai, who I'm sure I'll wind up talking about all this stuff a little bit later, of, you know, he gave me a call, whenever it was, back February or March or something like that, saying, oh, well, so you'll never guess what, but Jay-Z has decided to sample this song, and it seems to be quite a prominent sample in the song. And I, well, okay, that's really flattering, you know, like in my head, it was a lot more of, wow, I can't believe he even looked at this song.
Yeah.
And so I kind of cast it out of my mind. Didn't really tell anybody about it. It's that kind of, you get worried about counting your chickens and all that kind of thing. But it was pretty much a couple weeks ago, sat there on a plane coming back from Copenhagen, where I wound up getting a phone call from Jai, being like, hey, you'll never guess what. It's official, going to be on the album. Got the agreement all sorted out, and I've got a steward on the plane yelling at me because we're like taxiing to take off.
Yeah. So you're the uppie on the phone.
And I'm like, that's great, but see you later.
Wow.
And then, yeah.
Did you think he was winding you up?
No. I mean, yeah, it was, you know, I spoke to him again later on, and like a couple days later, I was like everybody else that wanted to hear that album of, you know, becoming a subscription member of Tidal, going on, listening to the album, and then suddenly realizing, wait a second, it's the title track of the album,
right,
and they haven't messed with the original song very much.
That's
it was
it.
Really
they,
obvious.
They really used the song. They kind of, it sounds to me like, I've heard it a fair few times already, and it sounds to me like they've reworked a song. They haven't sampled it, as a lot of hip-hop producers would, which obviously would have been great, and I'm sure you'd have been pretty chuffed with that, like you said. But they've actually seemed to have reworked the whole song into a new version, rather than, you know, taking a sample and doing something completely different with it, which is amazing. And you actually got a writing credit on the album for it, which I think is pretty rare for, you know, a song that's been sampled.
I think so. I mean, I've been a big fan of a lot of music like that, you know. I mean, albums by Fatboy Slim or something.
Right.
It took me a very long time to figure out what all those samples were.
Sure, yeah, that's
know?
It. Yeah.
Whereas with something like this, to be marked as like a principal songwriter on the track is insane to me. You know,
yeah, like, that's great.
After, I mean, I'm a big fan of putting together playlists and all this kind of thing. Yeah. I've got whole playlists dedicated to hip hop samples and things like this, where I'm really proud of the fact that I found what the original was.
Yeah.
And this is just kind of hanging out for everybody to see.
Yeah.
It's very flattering.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's kind of, it's almost like gone full circle with that, where, you know, you really, they've reworked a song rather than taking a sample and sort of starting again. So I heard the album's already gone platinum. let me just say again, Kanan, we've known each other a few years, and this is something I haven't said to you before, but I'm just going to say it again. The album has gone platinum.
Yeah, so that might have
so
happened.
So there's that.
Yeah, that might have happened. Which, genuinely, it's still just so damn mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that just thousands upon thousands of people have heard, you know, that song. All my friends, like, playing that song.
Yeah.
And in a way that, it's not hidden. It's not mashed up. It's just hanging out there. It's like the main hook,
that's
really.
It is, and it's how you. It's coming. It's really so recognizable from the original song. And anyone that's heard the two will immediately see how much they've kept of the original, and they've just reworked it, and just certain bits they've used. And yeah, mate, it's just absolutely amazing news for you and for the band. We're going to speak to Jai in just a moment about what it means for the band. What do you think it means for you? I mean, is it too early to tell what might come of it?
It's definitely too early. Yeah, it's way too early to tell. I mean, I've had a few publishers come out to me and ask me, you know, do I have representation and things like this? But at this stage, I can't really put too much of a comment in it, really, because I'm happy with the way that things are working. Obviously, things are great. You know, like, if somebody like Jay-Z can wind up saying, Hannah Williams and the Affirmations are incredible, then why would I ever want to stop working with Hannah Williams and the Affirmations? Like, we obviously have a great thing going. And I mean, I've listened to his album probably 100 times now.
Right.
And to be part of something that it's not like a crap album. It's a great album. Yeah, like I really like the album. So being part of that is
well, yeah. You say, you know, being part of it, being obviously a really significant part of it, and you know, you're up in some pretty august company, being as the other people sampled on the album include Nina Simone and Stevie Wonder. So damn.
I mean, no ID must have been drunk or something at the time.
Well, then,
on a pedestal with those guys.
God bless his drunk ass.
Yeah, right.
One thing that I was really impressed about with the new Jay-Z album as well is that it seems to be making some pretty bold and intelligent statements as well, really. Like, the story of OJ is a really complex argument about racial prejudice in the USA. And the title track 444 is like an apology from Jay-Z to his wife, which from a hip-hop perspective is very progressive, I think. Like, it's been said over the past few weeks by some of us that there aren't really any hip-hop tracks like that yet, so...
Definitely not at that level, not from someone that big and that leader. You know, I think it is a very mature album, isn't it? And he's, you know, he's of an age, and he's dealing with some very sort of very personal topics on the album, and that's what led me into asking you about that, Kanan, because, like, you know, like you said, you've got a personal connection to the song. Hannah and the band picked it up and made their personal connection. Now Jay-Z's made the personal connection, and it really, you know, you can really hear it, man. It's a great piece of work. I love the original and I love the Jay-Z version, man. Congratulations to you and the band.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I just hope that it means that more people wind up listening to the original and appreciating that same thing that he wound up appreciating.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, it's great news. We're going to play a song now, and when we come back, we're going to speak to Jai Widdowson-Jones of The Affirmations. You might hear him on the next track, in fact, because it's by Alba, isn't it, Tom?
And it's called If You Stay. So that was Alba with her most recent single, or I should say their most recent single, If You Stay. And drummer of Hannah Williams and the Affirmations, Jai Widdowson-Jones, also happens to be drummer of Alba too, doesn't he?
Yes, I do.
Welcome to the room, Jai.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, nice to have you here, man. And I love the drumming on that track, actually.
Thank you very much.
Really lovely work on the toms there. And when we played with you the other week, a few people were really impressed by your drumming that night, actually. The guy who manages us, The Desert, mentioned that, because you played on our EP too.
I did. So, yeah, that was really fun.
Yeah, man.
Incestuous little PFR thing going on here in Campbell Street. Everyone knows everyone.
Yeah, there's a bit of a group going on. That gig was fantastic. The debut Desert gig will go down in history as a fantastic night of music.
It was. It was tip top, I've got to say, as an audience, as I was.
Is that a thing?
Of course it is. It's you're singular of audience, surely. I'm not an audience. I'm one audience.
Yeah, right.
I don't punt that often, you know, I tend to play, but I did punt that night and it was great.
You did. You were a great punter.
Thanks very
Fantastic.
Much. Thanks.
You were saying, Jai, that song started with the drums.
Yeah, it did. If You Stay by Alba was written in Lloyd the guitarist's loft, probably around this time last year.
At his last house.
Yeah. His previous house. And I was like, I had my kit tuned and really nicely, and I was just playing around with it while I think they were downstairs getting a drink, and then I started playing that drum beat. And basically, I'm really obsessed with the cymbal sizzle. I absolutely love the cymbal sizzle, and I started playing around with it, and I was like, guys, check this beat out, check how nice the sizzle is in this beat. And then they just started playing something around it. I think Alba had already had those lyrics ready, and the song was born out of it, and it's really nice.
I love times like that.
Yeah, man.
Sizzle,
my nizzle.
So, any more gigs coming up for Alba soon?
For Alba, yes, we're playing tomorrow night. It's Monday today. On Wednesday night at the Good Ship in Kilburn.
Sweet.
Yeah, it should be nice.
That would have already happened by the time people hear this, though.
Cool. All right. Well, we...
to be honest. I mean, that's not...
We just played...
a reason not to say it.
Wednesday the 12th. Yeah, it was a great gig.
What about that thing after? That was mad, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mental.
Hey, no one expected that, did they?
Yeah. And do you remember, mate, do you remember that time? Oh, mate, yeah, okay. No.
Guy.
The guy. The guy. Oh, yeah, what about the girl, though?
Oh.
Yeah, all right, well, let's not get into it. To the radio now.
Do you drum for anyone else, Jai?
I've actually played some drums for you, sir.
Oh,
a couple of times.
That was good.
Do you remember the last gig? Maybe you should recount the story of the last gig, mate, actually.
What the last Boys from Marketing gig?
Yeah, because you actually... I really enjoyed the blog post that you wrote about it afterwards, where you just referred to me as the drummer.
The drummer,
which
capital T, capital D.
I decided to see in like a Sergio Leone kind of way, and like, you know, just like a man with no name, the drummer.
Yeah, yeah.
The drummer with no shoes.
You would, though, wouldn't you, as it was you.
Exactly.
The Sergio Leone drummer.
Yeah.
My mind immediately jumped to Quentin Tarantino.
Well, my mind immediately jumped to myself.
Yeah, well, 100%.
Nice. That was a very good gig. Anyone else that you drum for that's doing well at the minute?
Yeah, I mean,
who is it? Who am I?
I guess.
Is it Sting or one of them lads?
Stinger. No, I was.
Stinger. I drums for that Stinger.
Stinger.
Who knew on a Thursday?
Air Stinger. It's actually moved to Wednesdays now, but whatever. Yeah, I play for Hannah Williams and the Affirmations.
Things going pretty well for you guys at the minute, yeah?
Yeah, they are actually going very well, as Mr. Kanan Keeney
talked
about earlier.
Yeah.
You're the band manager, is that right, as well?
Currently, yes.
Sort of acting, yeah.
I am, yeah, the de facto manager. Very much looking forward to the day when a proper manager comes along, but as the sober person in the band, it just falls on me to be the manager essentially. So for the last 2 years, that's what I've been doing. It's been fun, but now I'm not gonna lie, it's been really busy. No one who's listening to this can see me, but I look very sleep deprived at the moment because I am very sleep deprived.
That's right. They can probably hear it.
Yeah, they can hear it. Yeah, they can hear
the
it.
The quiver in your voice.
The quiver.
That's the sizzle, mate.
Oh, yeah, that's the cymbal sizzle actually in my voice. It's been great. It's been absolutely mental recently. I was very, very happy to ring Kanan up with the news. I was very happy to ring him up in the first instance and say, yo, this might be happening. But I was even happier to ring him up recently and be like, flipping, yes, it's definitely happening.
No, we're not on the BBC, mate.
Cool, we're good.
But yeah, no, it has the whole thing's a bit surreal, really, because, I got a call from the CEO of Roc Nation, and they're pretty huge.
Yeah.
And so when I was texting him about the whole thing, I was like, what is going on right now? This must be real, because I'm speaking to actual Jay Brown about actual Jay-Z using our actual song on his actual album. But I'll believe it when I see it. And then the album came out. Yeah. And I got a message from actually both Hannahs in the band, Hannah Curtin / Williams, and other Hannah Nicholson, who's a backing singer. They both messaged me in the morning saying, oh my God, it's a title track. And my mother also messaged me in the morning saying, it's a title track. Nice. And I saw it and I was like, oh my God. Because yeah, we didn't know. We had no idea. Like the whole 444, because there's a bit of a publicity stunt about it. For about a month, they would just had these billboards that said 444 all around the world that they supposed might be hinting at Jay-Z dropping a new album, but they didn't know. I had an inkling, I don't really know why, but it felt right to me with the timing of the knowledge that I had, but I had not been given any official like release date or name of album or anything.
It was all very secretive, wasn't it?
Yeah, like super top secret.
Just kind of to avoid leaks and anything coming out ahead of time?
I think it was to avoid the information getting to James Graham, actually, and thus to the entire Southwest.
And then probably to a lot of Europe as well, actually. I don't know. Do you know what? Bless James. It was really cool. It was actually really funny. When I told him, it's definitely happening, we can definitely tell people, we've got the final agreement through, it's signed. He literally went like this on the phone. Oh, thank God. It's been so hard not telling anyone. I'm so glad.
James Graham is the keys player.
Yes, wow. James Graham is the keys player and musical director of the band.
It's a difficult nugget to keep to yourself, that, isn't it?
I mean, pretty big news.
Yeah, it was.
You knew before anyone else, presumably. Yes. You're the one who told Kanan about it.
Yes. Kanan, Hannah, Adam the bass player, and I all knew before anyone, because what happened was I got the call, and so obviously I had to let Kanan know because it's his song, and I also had to let Hannah know because during my phone call with Jay Brown, he said, by the way, can you text me Hannah's number, because Jay-Z wants to call Hannah, so I need her number. So obviously, as soon as I got the phone, actually, before even calling Kanan, I called Hannah. I said, right, Hannah, what are you doing right now? She said, I'm on a bus in my car. I was like, right, I'm going to tell you something. Do not react. Like, you mustn't react to this. She was like, okay. I was like, right, no, seriously, like, you can't tell anyone and you can't even react, because if there are people around you, this is top secret. She's like, okay, right. I'm like, right. I just got off the phone to Jay-Z's manager, CEO, and he wants to sample our track and he wants you to sing on it, and so he's going to call you this weekend. She went, Hannah, stop. Okay. Like, Hannah, that if you see an LA number calling you over the weekend, you answer it, right? You must answer the phone. Just, okay, all right. Right,
I don't care if that shit costs you 50p or not.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care what that costs you. You answer that. It's like, okay.
I haven't really got the minutes.
Sorry, Jay, I don't have the minutes. She was like, all right, okay, right. Can you tell me anything else? No, I was like, right, I can't tell you anything else. Sorry, right, I'm going to go now. Okay, bye. So I put the phone down.
The Russians might be listening to this already, you know.
And then I'm getting texts from her. I'm, oh my God, 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 oh my God. And then that was on the Friday morning. And nothing came through until the Sunday in the evening. And I was actually on a gig, a different gig. And I got to the halftime bit of the gig and I saw a text that just said, oh my God, he just called. So I called Hannah up and I was like, hello? She's like, my God, I just had the best phone call of my life. And she'd missed the first call from Jay-Z, and she'd had a text to him saying, hi, it's Jay, let me know when it's good to call. And so she called him and he said, Yeah, thank you for calling. I know you're busy. She was thinking, I'm busy. Yeah. Wow. And anyway, I'll, yeah.
Hopefully, well, the choir practice was pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Choir practice was mental.
Yeah, I was just making toast, so maybe call me back in 5.
Hey,
yeah.
Jay,
kettle's boiling, mate. I've got to go.
Yeah, Jay, listen, it's just at that point where if I don't take the tea bag out now, it's going to be ruined. So, like, if you know what I mean, man. Like,
I'm not wasting a cup of tea.
Yeah, yeah, it's not happening.
Not wasting a tea bag over this.
So, what does it mean then for the future of the band? I know, as you know, Kanan said himself, it's early days and nothing set in stone or anything. But have you had any exciting prospects for the near future as a result of this?
Yeah, it's really, really incredible for the band. The success of something like this is far reaching. Like we've had people just in the, you know, in the last week, we've had a bunch of people who have never heard our music before listening to it. We've had like something like in total about 100,000 plays on the song over the last week, if you count Spotify and YouTube, mostly from the States, which is somewhere that we don't have that much of a reach at the moment, which is fantastic because it's obviously opening that up for us. We're hoping to get, you basically level up from it, really. Just book more shows, get more people interested in us, and just keep going, really, and keep the momentum, and don't ever let it stop, really. Just use it. You know, what you have to do as a band with something like this is use it to your advantage. Book shows and
ride
just
that
keep
wave.
Going. Yeah, ride the wave
ride
as long
that
as
wave,
you can.
Baby.
Ride the wave, baby. You're at the crest of it.
Tom Fryer's got a really lovely grin on his face right now. I feel like he might have a comment to make, and I want to know what it is.
No. I was just basking in your reflective glory.
Oh, that's what I was going to do.
Well, we can't all bask. This isn't Basque country. We're not in Spain right now. Worst joke of the podcast.
Oh, man, we're going to leave that one.
Okay, guys, thanks for having me.
Edit that out, Tom. Just from just before he said that, so just after I finished saying this. Snip, snip, snip. So, Jai, thanks for coming in, mate. Again, made up for you and the band and for Kanan and for everyone involved. So big up your bad selves. And I hope you're all able to make something even greater out of this.
Thank you very much.
Tom, we're going to hear another song. What is it?
Yeah, this next one's from our man Chaz Thorogood. It's called Pictures.
War is a tree without the leaves. War is a train without the steam. War is a fire without the flame. War is a child without a name. There's no darkness in your light when there's starlight in your night.
pain. And to not have you in any other way.
So that was our man Chaz Thorogood with Pictures, which is a song from his new EP. And the EP is called Limbo, so check that shit out because Chaz is great. Tom, we've had a lot to talk about this week, but we haven't yet mentioned Glastonbury. The PFR hit up Glastonbury pretty hard, didn't we?
Oh, there's so much to say. So much has happened.
So much.
I mean, I feel like a new man since then.
You look like a new man.
Thanks, dude. Had the most sort of light Glastonbury I've ever had, actually.
Really?
In the sense that I managed to go to work on Tuesday, and I work as a sort of therapeutic support worker, and the client said that I look pretty grumpy. They were like, yeah, you didn't look very happy on the Tuesday that you came back from Glastonbury. I was like, well, last year I would have been dying, so like, that's a substantial improvement.
Tom's all grown up.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. What were your highlights?
On a personal score, loads, in, you know, mostly in the PFR, in terms of which we'll speak about in a minute, but in terms of watching stuff, the two things I was really excited about beforehand was Radiohead headlining the Friday and Run the Jewels on the main stage on the Saturday, and they were both lived up to my hopes for how good they would be. They're both absolutely great. Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, I totally loved Radiohead. Been a fan since I was a young boy. I wrote down the lyrics to High and Dry in a little notebook when I was about four.
Wow.
Maybe a bit older than that, when I could actually write. <Be honest. laughs>
Yeah, like one letter per page.
What are you now, like 16?
Yeah, maybe I was 8 or 9, you know, something like that. And yeah, so I've been a big fan for a long time, and I know loads of their words because I'm a performer and a guitarist and a singer, so I've learned to play a lot of their songs over the years. In fact, you know, getting into them was probably part of my inspiration for becoming a musician. And I developed a curious theory over the course of the Glastonbury weekend. Well, it was over the course of their performance.
Pray tell.
Well, so I felt like Radiohead are... I felt like the gig was... Clayton's giving me the finger and making me sound like some kind of Radiohead twat super fan, which is fair enough. But I'm not sweating it. I was
total pro, ladies and gentlemen. He's just going to carry right on regardless for you. That's how much he cares about you. He's not going to be put off by anything at all.
Essentially, the Radiohead, I think their gig was designed to take you on a journey through their back catalogue of music, which conveyed this sense of that, like, all of their music kind of leads towards this one thing. That in actual fact, like, they're very kind of like Eastern spiritual conscious people, and actually I would go so far as to say prophets of our times. So if you take certain lyrics, like, you know, it's like there's loads of lyrics like that are beyond time, you know, like in Pyramid Song, when he's like, rooms full of stars and astral cars, all the things I used to see. He like places himself out of time, like looking at time from the fourth dimension, like Kurt Vonnegut or T.S. Eliot or you know, a Buddhist. And then, you know, the last lyric of the bends is immerse your soul in love. And you take a song like Exit Music for a Film, which starts in a kind of depressing, lonely, sad state and reaches this transcendence where he says, and now we are one in everlasting peace. We hope that you choke. And it's like all of their lyrics that I know so well, all placed in the way that they placed them, led me on this journey. And I thought, Jesus Christ. And then when they played Lotus Flower and the visuals changed to this massive lotus flower, which is an Eastern spiritual symbol of beauty coming from darkness, I just, that was the tipping point. And I just think they're prophets from another dimension, probably aliens.
That's conceptual reviews with Tom Fryer. More of that next month. I saw someone at that gig with a flag that just said, play the fucking Benz.
Was it a four-year-old?
Yeah, it's a four-year-old with a notebook. It was a pretty spectacular gig, to be fair. Live music's great because it takes you out of the situation where you normally hear that particular music. I'd never seen Radiohead live before, and I've liked them for a long time. And so it was pretty emotional at times. But yeah, it was great. And then I left there and went straight over to the front room to play with the boys from marketing, which was amazing. We did a really good. It was like, you know, when you're sort of on a bit of a high from seeing something like that, and then just go and play immediately. It was quite an emotional gig to play, and it was absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Mm. So that was probably a personal highlight for me, was watching that and then playing straight after. Mm. And then you and I and several others in the front room had a lovely little jam on the Sunday night, which was great, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we played a couple of Radiohead songs as well.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant.
I got a few messages about that actually on the People's Front Room Facebook saying,
"Hello, People's Front Room Facebook watchers.
We watched this guy singing with another bloke playing the mandolin." And I was like, "Yeah, it was me singing, but I don't know who the guy on the mandolin was. Probably just a random,
some short fella, yeah, short fella with a cap, short fella with a cap and a bad attitude, and a mandolin.
A really old-looking kid.
Old-looking kid with a mandolin. Goes, you're not to know this, listeners, but that's me. They're talking about me. I was the guy with a mandolin. That's good. That's all good fun stuff. That's the kind of laughs we have here with the people's front." Ladies and gentlemen, and that's the kind of laughs we're going to be having after this podcast happens at Stand and Callin', because that's the next festival we're going to be at. So if you're going to be there, come and say hello and party with the People's Front Room. Kanan's going to be there as well.
Yeah. I mean, never been to it. I've got a feeling that it's quite a new festival, actually, from what I've understood. Like,
it's not the first one, but there's one called Kendall Callin', which is linked to it. So it's a southern version of that, I think.
Oh,
and it's,
okay.
I think it's not brand new, but it's quite new. I think it's, you know.
Well, excited about it, though. I mean, for me, in a really selfish way, I'm just excited about hanging out with the People's Front Room and playing there.
Yeah. Man. It's going to be great. It's going to be great to have you there. And, we've got quite a big crew at that one. It's going to be great fun.
It's been a little while since you've been to a festival with us, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, well, I haven't done any with you guys this season.
Yeah.
Basically. So festival. I think, like, last one was, festival last year, I think.
Yeah,
man. It's going to be large. We're going to have the, literally large. We're going to have the big, full, new and improved, huge, exciting, gargantuan People's Front Room explosion, which is going to be extremely exciting. I've never even seen that.
You won a festival, yeah, we missed you.
I wasn't there, so it's only been done that one time. So I'm really looking forward to seeing all that play out. And we're just going to have a great time. We've got some more festivals coming up as well later in the summer.
True. Boomtown Festival Shambhala.
Boomtown Festival Shambhala. Not in that order. Boomtown Shambhala Festival, in that order.
What have you got planned for Stand and Kanan?
I'm probably going to mix it up a little bit. So I'll wind up doing a set of classical guitar. Because, nice. I mean, that's kind of originally what I started out doing. So
yeah.
Wind up doing probably an hour of that, and then do a blues set with all you guys, like a whole band, and just
blues jam with Colgate,
blues jam and all that kind of thing. And then the other one will be kind of a solo set, and I've actually been kind of rearranging a lot of my songs so that they're more suitable to play with a classical guitar and do it in a more kind of solo element. So I'm kind of been experimenting. So,
nice. Yeah,
sweet, man.
Interesting. Yeah, that sounds great. I look forward to checking that out. I heard they've got a mandolin player in the People's Front Room if you want one. Anyway, there's not many of them around.
We're going to have to cut you off there,
Clayton, because we got the last tune of today's podcast. It's been
going to have to cut you off there, Tom, because we've got the last tune of the podcast. Sorry, mate. Got to stop you there. Yep. Got to big up our guest, Kanan Keeney, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for having me, guys. Your pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for being here, mate. Thanks to Jai Widdowson and Jones as well.
Thanks, guys.
And thanks to Tom. Talk us out, Tom. Like you were gonna before I stopped you.
I forgot everything I was gonna say. I forgot everything.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Everything fell to pieces as soon as you looked at me.
Oh, I know.
Can you just talk us out on a bit of a T.S. Eliot poem, mate?
Yeah, give us some T.S. Eliot. That'll round things off nicely, won't it?
Time past and time future. What might have been and what has been point to one end, which is always present.
Heavy.
Time moves. Music moves only in time. I sampled that on a song on an album I made about 8 years ago.
I sampled a T.S. Eliot quote on a tune I made too. So
oh, snap. Listen to this unplanned banter, ladies and gentlemen, about T.S. Eliot sampling.
That's how we do it.
This is how we do it. BFI does it like nobody does.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Peace out, y'all. Yeah,
this is a tune by Lost Cat called Cold Feet. We could get